Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best? Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
Good afternoon! And welcome into our lunch hour on Middays with Mannix and Mannix, presented by Heidi's Brooklyn Deli in South Portland and Auburn. Order right now on Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash. Heidi's Brooklyn Deli, a labor of love since 1994. Jeff and Taylor, we are on the microphones. And with the final state championships being given out in girls, boys, lacrosse, as well as baseball and softball, nobody better to talk about to wrap it up with than our good friend Michael Hoffer for our final Southern Maine High School sports report for the at least 25-26 school year. Michael Hoffer, thanks so much for being here again, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was quite a weekend, wasn't it?
Certainly was, at a lot of different locations around the state. I know you were very well plugged in all weekend long at Memorial Field in Portland, which was the host of the state championship lacrosse games this weekend. On Friday night, of course, we had the first two games, which were in Class B. And I suppose that's where we can start with the first champions crowned there. Girls lacrosse in Class B, Greeley able to win that title over one of their arch rivals, Freeport, while we had a first-time state champion in Class B boys lacrosse with Marshwood.
Yeah, what a great story with Marshwood. York, everyone kind of thought this was going to be the year they get over the hump after losing in overtime the past two seasons in the state final to Yarmouth. And, you know, great game, close game all along. Both goalies played terrific. But, yeah, really a cool story to see Marshwood break through. They'd only been to one other state final in their history, and they certainly weren't intimidated with the environment. They took an early lead. You know, York did go up by two in the fourth, and I thought, all right, maybe they've got it now. But, you know, Marshwood battles back and then gets the winning goal, holds off at the end. And great story. And that's one of the things now with lacrosse going to three classes is, you know, we're seeing some schools that have never won before, not only competing in the state final, but winning it. You have the Marana Cook Winthrop girls, which I'm sure we'll talk about. You know, they've gone back to back now. That was never a school that you would, those schools, you never would have been synonymous with lacrosse success until just recently. But yeah, congrats to Marchwood. They played great, and when they had to make the plays at the end, they did. And then, you know, that Greeley Freeport rivalry, it never disappoints. Greeley was clearly the best team in Class B all year. They came in on a 14-game win streak. But the one team that really gives them fits is Freeport, and they did it again. It was a low-scoring game, 2-1 at halftime. Greeley goes up 3 in the third. It looks like they're about to pull away. Freeport comes back, cuts it to 5-4. But Greeley gets the job done at the end. A big late goal from Audrey Ingersoll, one of their senior captains. And freshman McKenna Thiever, you're going to be hearing her name a lot. She's a blossom. The star was born the other day. She scored 4 goals in that one. To kind of lead the way, and that's 4 titles in 5 years now for Greeley, and the one time they didn't win, they lost in double overtime to Freeport last year, so they're going to be there again. It seems like they're always there, and they've really become a dynasty here, closing on a 15-game win streak, which is a program record, so kudos to the Rangers. They certainly lived up to billing all season long and finished as a worthy champ, and Freeport certainly deserves a lot of credit as well for getting to the state game as a 6 seed and pushing Greeley as much as they did.
Yeah, what a fun matchup, and what 2 fun matches. You mentioned Marshwood, too. I think it's fun to highlight them because I remember they just kind of were in a state championship for soccer not too long ago on the boys' side, so it's just been great to see them and even on the girls' side, find success here, whether it's baseball, soccer. I mean, they've come out of nowhere a couple times, but, man, that is a strong athletic community. They don't come out of nowhere, I should say, in football, but to see them kind of get their taste on the lacrosse field maybe and now end in soccer a few years ago is a pretty cool story for those folks down there in Marshwood.
Right, and people don't realize, I mean, they were 12-2 in the regular season. This was a very good team. I think they were just overshadowed by York. Greeley got a ton of attention coming into the tournament as the one seed, but you know, Marsh would beat both of them, and they're the champs as a result.
Yeah, and at least as we move over to the Saturday lacrosse finals, Class C, we had the same two teams taking on each other on the boys' and the girls' sides, and it's a split with the number one seeds winning very convincingly on both sides. Marana Cook Winthrop on the girls' side winning by 10 goals over North Yarmouth Academy, and then the NYA boys beat Marana Cook Winthrop by 11 goals on the boys' side. So they both ended up being rather lopsided, but at least for those two fan bases, each one gets to go home with a title.
Absolutely, yeah. That boys' game was over very quickly. It was 7-1 after one quarter, 13-2 at halftime. Just a clinic put on by NYA. Stephen Connolly, 7 goals to lead the way. And, you know, this is a team they played up. They took on some tough teams during the regular season and kind of took their lumps, but got them ready for this. And, you know, they all were talking about how they really just started clicking when the playoffs started. And, you know, every single game had a running clock, including this one. And no surprise there. NYA going back-to-back for the first time in program history, which is really amazing, you know, considering what that program's history is. And then the girls' game, this first chance I got to see Marana Cook Winthrop, very impressed with them, a swarming defense, some really, really talented players on offense. And, you know, that game was only 6-3 in the third quarter, and NYA had a couple chances to make it even closer. And let's not forget, they had that dramatic comeback win against Wells in the semifinals. So, you know, that was hanging in the balance for a bit, and you know, Marana Cook Winthrop pulled away at the end with 5 goals in the last minute or so to kind of punctuate their win. But, you know, back-to-back crowns for this program after they won for the first time last year. You know, last year was a 10-9 game. This one was a lot easier and, you know, clearly the best team in Class C all year. The only girls team in the state to finish undefeated. So, obviously a very special run for them.
Yeah, and then in Class A, Michael, obviously on the boys' side, Falmouth, they get their redemption arc complete. They beat Yarmouth 13-8 to secure a title. And then on the girls' side, we saw a first state title captured for the girls of the Thornton Academy Golden Trojans. So some pretty cool stories. One maybe where it was a little bit more expected and almost a long time coming, especially for Falmouth, where for Thornton it's a first.
Yeah, it's a first, and it's definitely not a last. This program is going to be something special. And, you know, I think they were a year ahead of schedule. I think most people felt that way, but they did not. And, you know, first they ended Wyndham's reign in the semifinals with an impressive win. And, you know, I just didn't know how they were going to perform early in that state game against the Kennebunk team that's there literally every year. But TA comes out, they grab a 4-1 lead, and they go up 6-2 at one point. You know, Kennebunk did a nice job. They came back and tied it 3 different times, but they never could take the lead. And I think if they had, you know, they might have gone on to win. But TA just was incredibly resilient. It wasn't just one player starring for them. You know, Olivia Lamy, one of their top sophomores, scored the go-ahead goal. Their goalie, Sophia Auger, was terrific down the stretch, making a ton of key saves. And, yeah, TA makes history. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's not often that a TA team is kind of a lovable underdog. I felt like they were in this game just because they'd never been this far. And, you know, they've already shown that they're going to be a team to be reckoned with year after year after year, and they return a ton. I would not be surprised at all to see them back at this level again next season. And then the boys, I mean, we all remember what last June was like when Falmouth was stunned in that state final by TA. And I know how agonizing a loss that was. And for the guys that returned, they really wanted redemption. You know, they were kind of playing for the guys who graduated last year who didn't get to get over the hump. And, you know, everyone was kind of anointing them as one of the greatest teams all time, and they couldn't even win the title. But this year's team, you know, the only boys team to go wire to wire undefeated. And I've been curious to see, you know, if TA could have really pushed them had they met. But, you know, Yarmouth was a worthy finalist. They upset TA in the semis. And then, you know, Yarmouth had a 5-4 lead at halftime, guys. I mean, they were really executing their game plan. You know, Falmouth was winning almost every faceoff, but Yarmouth was turning them over, and Yarmouth was able to have some long possessions and get a few goals. But at halftime, the switch got flipped completely, and Falmouth comes out 4 quick goals to take over, and then they pull away down the stretch in the fourth quarter. That's 2 titles in 3 years and 5 all-time for this program, and what a great collection of seniors this team had. I mean, it was the same story last year, but this group was kind of unique as well, and you know, this group got the job done, and some great younger players coming back. So, you know, Falmouth is it seems like they're an annual finalist, and I certainly think they'll be right there again next season.
Yeah, great finish to the season, certainly, for the Falmouth Navigators boys lacrosse program. Again, we're talking with Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports. It's our Southern Maine High School Sports Report State Championship Edition. And now let's go to the softball diamond here because, of course, one of the big storylines for the last 3 years in high school has been Chevres' pitcher, Addison DeRoche.
Yep.
She spins another gem in the state championship, although this time we saw something rare. Hamden Academy actually scored two runs on her, but not enough to win the game. Chevres ultimately wins 3-2. So after the 1 year of not winning the state title a year ago, Chevres is back on top.
They are, and it was not easy. And I actually thought it might be a fairly lopsided win for the Stags, just because they've won all, you know, almost all their games with relative ease. And you know, they jump out 2-0 in the third inning, and it's like, all right, here we go. And you know, I think DeRoche was perfect through three, and then she gave up a run in the fourth. The good thing Chevres got that insurance run on the top of the seventh because they needed it. Yeah. You know, Hamden Academy with a late rally to cut with pull within a run. They had a tying run on base, and naturally DeRoche ends it with a strikeout. But what a phenomenal team this was. So dominant all year long. And, yeah, I mean, Addison is special. We've talked so much about, you know, what makes her so dominant, what makes her great, and why, you know, she's special as a person just as much as a pitcher. But this whole team was just phenomenal, top to bottom. The lineup so tough. And really, in the postseason, it was the bottom of the lineup that was doing a lot of the damage. Sadie Collins had herself a terrific postseason. She drove in the first two runs of the regional final. She had an RBI single to score the first run in the state game, and she later scored another run. So, you know, terrific job by her. And this team just found a way. And they were clearly the team to beat all year in Class A. And ultimately, they didn't disappoint. But, boy, did they have to sweat at the end of that one. And, you know, with the Addison DeRoche coming back for one more season, even though Chevres is graduating a few really talented key seniors, you know they're going to be the favorite again because we've just never seen anything like her. And, you know, it's going to be a treat to get to see her pitch one more year.
Yeah, and another team I know you got that's in our region here, NYA, 14-4, six innings for them at St. Joseph's. They dominated.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other two, Deer go 5-1 over Bucksport. Madomic Valley 7-0 over Gardner. But NYA, what a dominating performance. Easily the most dominating performance outside of Madomic Valley. Shutout to Gardner.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, Madomic back-to-back, kudos to them. And, I mean, when you look at NYA and you look at the box score, and you see the number 10 in the first inning. And it's like I wasn't expecting that. You know, the other six innings were dead even. But really remarkable. I thought this was going to be a low-scoring pitcher's duel that might need more than seven innings. And it only needed one to determine a winner, frankly. And, you know, this NYA team has been great all season. They fell short last year in very frustrating fashion. They were ahead of Duck Buckfield after a couple innings in the regional final. I don't know if you remember this, guys. And the game was called because the field conditions were not great. But the baseball game next door went on. And obviously NYA was not happy at all about having to come back the next day and start over. And, of course, they lost that one to Buckfield, who went on to win the championship. So they've been on a mission now ever since. And a very, very happy ending indeed this time for the Panthers. And, three and 4 years now. And, you know, they're just there all the time. And no end in sight for this program.
No, certainly not there. And interesting to point out here that on the softball side, all four of the Southern Maine regional finalists were the winners this year. So we had the clean sweep on the south softball side. We almost had that in baseball, too. But there was one Northern Maine team that won, which we'll get to in a little bit. I got to start with the Class A game, though, because I feel like of any of the games in any sport all weekend, that was probably the best one. Gorham eking one out against Bangor 3-2. They needed 11 innings in order to win that Class A state championship at Morton Field in Augusta. Pretty rare that you see four extra innings played in a game, but anybody who was in attendance there clearly got their money's worth there between those two Rams.
Absolutely. And, you know, Gorham had waited 21 years for a championship, so what's four extra innings, right? And you look at the unique journey they took to get through their playoff run with the rain bailing them out against Falmouth in the quarterfinals. And, you know, a call that's somewhat controversial if you ask people from Saco to help them beat TA in the semifinals. And, you know, they get the number 10 seed Noble in the regional final, take care of that one relatively easily. But Yeah, I mean, Gorham, Bangor, I felt like these teams were pretty evenly matched. I thought Bangor might have an edge. Just seems like they're always in the state game. And, you know, but Gorham didn't have Hunter Fink available to pitch. But Miles Brenner and Wyatt Washburn were both terrific. They combined to go 11 innings, and they got the job done. You know, Gorham makes one error in 11 innings, and you know, that's certainly a recipe for success. Their first two runs come on a squeeze bunt and a bases-loaded walk to the number nine hitter. But, you know, Bangor ties it right back up, and we go on and on into, you know, that must have gone roughly 3 hours this game. And finally, Fink comes up in the 11th with a chance to win it, delivers the big hit. He's the Gatorade Player of the Year. I mean, would you expect anything less? And, you know, he's better known for his dominant pitching. He's verbally committed to the University of Alabama. But he's one of the best hitters in the league, too. And he went the other way and lined a single and scored the winning run, and then Bangor puts a tying run at third with one out in the bottom of the 11th. Looked like we might play on, but Wyatt Washburn gets a couple pop-ups to end it. And, yeah, a long drought has ended for this Gorham team. You know, great baseball community, a lot of tradition. They've won titles before, but never in Class A. And then, like I said, it's been quite a while. So kudos to them. I just had a chance to go over there this morning and talk with the coach and a few of the players, and they're still very excited and animated, as you would expect.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And I know another team in Freiburg Academy was able to also snap a long-time streak, but I do want to go to a team we talked with you about last week who won Class C in the Monmouth Academy Mustangs, because this wasn't easy for them this time. Yeah. If it wasn't for that Class A game, they might have had the game of the day because they had to rally in the seventh inning after giving up quite a few runs early. Monmouth looked like they were going to be on the other side of this, and Washington Academy was going to get their revenge after a rematch of last year's title game, but Monmouth guts it out and kind of reminds us all of exactly what we were talking about last week with the three of us, which is this is one of the best baseball programs in the state, period, and I think they reminded us and solidified that with a comeback win against Washington Academy, an incredible program with an incredible win in Class C.
Right, and I mean, and it's great to score nine runs in the first inning and roll to a mercy rule victory in the regional final. I mean, how fun is that? But how much more rewarding is it to have to scratch and claw for seven innings and drag yourself off the deck and come back and then pull it out? I mean, those are the kind of wins that you never forget. Those are the kind of games that, you know, immortalize a team. And, yeah, I mean, the Monmouth Academy does this pretty much annually, but, you know, what they had to do to win this title will never be forgotten.
No, certainly will not. Congratulations to Steve Pelleschi and everybody up there associated with that program, of course, now back-to-back Class C state champions and three of the last four Class C state championships there for the Monmouth Academy Mustangs. So congratulations to them. They're becoming the gold standard in that class, without a doubt. Taylor just mentioned Freiburg Academy. It was their first trip to a state championship game since 1983. They won back-to-back in Class C in 1982 and 83. And they win a very, very close ball game against Coney, in which the majority of the runs actually came in the first inning, but definitely none bigger of a hit than Brady Chappell hitting a home run over the left field wall, a two-run shot in that first inning to give Freiburg the lead, and they never looked back from there.
No, not a bad way to break in a game, right, to hit that home. I mean, you don't see home runs very often. Rarely you see them over at St. Joe's, but pretty much high drama. And then you know, you get all that flurry of runs early, and then the last four innings, nobody scores at all. I know, you know, Coney had their chances. And, yeah, frustrating school year for Coney, right? I mean, the football team gets to the state game, loses to Westbrook. The boys basketball team loses to eventual champion Gardner in the regional final. And then now baseball falls one run short in the title game. But, you know, a terrific year nonetheless. And, you know, Freiburg Academy was really close last year. They had that agonizing regional final loss to Greeley. They got the revenge against Greeley this year in that round, barely by a 4-3 score. So I think that score has been very kind to them. And then they close it out with that championship. Yeah, I was in high school in 1983. I can tell you, gentlemen, that was a long time ago.
Hey, yes, that certainly would be. And we've mentioned here, only one team from the North won in the Diamond Sports this year, and it's Class D Baseball's Fort Fairfield High School Tigers, who completed an undefeated season by defeating the Telstar Rebels on Saturday afternoon there in Standish by a score of 4-1. And the starting pitcher, LeBlanc, for Fort Fairfield was just a freshman and he was dominant. 6 1/3 innings, it was Caden Ayla, the senior, who finished off the last two outs of the game. But a great performance by Fort Fairfield. I wasn't sure how they'd look playing a heavy Aroostook County schedule there, but they beat some very good teams from the north in order to get here. And the Telstar team that I had just seen on Tuesday was a pretty good baseball team as well, but Fort Fairfield just shut down every opportunity, it seemed, for Telstar to score. They didn't score until the bottom of the seventh inning.
Yeah, I know you're particularly fond of that story, Jeff, and it's a great one, right? I mean, it's been a long time since the county team has won, and they take care of business. And oh, yeah, how cool is it, though? You have a freshman that comes out and doesn't show any nerves and is so dominant at this level at that age. And probably not the last time we're going to see him pitch in mid-June. But, yeah, I mean, the beauty of all these championships is, I mean, we have champions represented from Fort Field to South Berwick, right? I mean, and all points in between. It's not just the Portland area. There's great talent, baseball, softball, across all over the state, and they really got a chance to showcase that Friday and Saturday, and just some really memorable games and some great stories that we're never going to forget.
Yeah, certainly. It was a great final weekend of the high school sports season here in Maine, which now means a summer off. But,
yes.
I mean, it's going to be that first week of September real quick when soccer and field hockey and football get started.
Yep.
So, yes, it'll be right back on top of us again soon.
Yeah, let's not forget volleyball, too. I mean, it's going to be a very, very busy, active, fun fall. And yeah, I'll be, you know, when it gets here, I'll be amped up and ready for it. But I got to admit, guys, I need to come up for air for a minute, catch up on some sleep, hang out down here at the beach. You know, it's going to be nice to relax for a minute. But it's been such a great year, and I just want to thank everyone that supported, you know, my website and what I'm doing. And, you know, things have been going great, and I just love being able to continue to do what I love to do the way I want to do it. And there have been, you know, no shortage of unbelievable stories all school year. I mean, you think about the Westbrook football story back in the fall, right? Some of the great basketball games we had in the tournament, including that Chevers Hamden Academy, unbelievable 19-point overtime comeback. And then just, you know, all the things that we just listed here this spring. And there were, you know, the weather sometimes was frightful, but, you know, the action was fabulous. And just a terrific year. I'm so grateful to be a part of it, and I can't wait to see what the 2026-27 school year is going to bring.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was going to say, really, the only thing left on the schedule now is what the Lobster Bowl on
yep.
July 18th. So, hey, Michael, just enjoy that one. All right, man.
Oh, you know it. I will. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys have a great summer and keep doing the great job that you guys do.
Thanks so much, Michael Hoffer from Hoffer's High School Sports, with our Southern Maine High School Sports Report, our last one here for the spring season. We'll, of course, bring it back again when the fall seasons arrive in early September. We will be right back. Phone lines open for you as we continue through our Heidi's Brooklyn Deli Lunch Hour on a Mannix Monday edition of Middays with Mannix and Mannix.